You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, I reported on some of the ways that libraries are evolving and supporting people as we move forward from lockdown, including job-seeking support and providing access to digital technologies. As a follow-up to that, I decided to talk to somebody who's a hell of a lot more qualified to talk about libraries than I am, Auckland's head of Community Libraries North and West, Daryl Soljan. I first wanted to ask about the recently announced funding boost and how that $60 million investment actually translates on a practical level.
There's still quite a lot of detail to be worked through, is my understanding. The bulk of it is targeted around things involving the National Library and the National Archive. But at the same time, there is going to be a chunk available to help public libraries. Of course, Auckland's the largest public library network in New Zealand, and we're our manager of libraries information is talking with the manager of National Libraries about how best to approach things. We think that it's likely to assist from an Auckland context. It's likely to assist with some of the things that are kind of universal across New Zealand. So things like interloans. So at the moment, if we don't have a book in our collection that someone from Auckland wants, and it happened to be in, let's say, Palmerston North, then we pay to get that transferred up to here and often pass the cost on to the customer. So my understanding is that something like the interloans will be something that will be helped with. We think there's some good opportunities to request that some of the funding might be used to help some of our rural libraries in Auckland. So we've got 11 rural libraries which tend to look after the outer extremities, particularly towards the Waitakere ranges, also Rodney in the far north and Franklin in the south. So there may be some opportunities to support the volunteers to a greater extent than we can do at the moment at those rural libraries.
That's
but
great.
Certainly $60 million, regardless of whether it's Auckland Libraries or another library, it's fantastic recognition from the department and from the minister and from the government about the important role libraries play in New Zealand.
That investment's also going towards things you may not expect a library to handle, such as support for job seekers who may be struggling to write a new CV or who haven't applied to a job before. Alongside that, Daryl told me about some of the ways that libraries make technology more accessible to people.
An important thing that librarians do is we can sit down with people and help them build their own CV and help them do some of these things. So many of us take it for granted that we can use a computer, that we know what a CV should look like, that we have a good grasp of language, that we have access to the internet. You know, a lot of these people, you know, you try to apply for a job these days without emailing your application or attaching it or entering it via some sort of internet portal. So I think a lot of us forget that there's a real barrier, that not everyone in New Zealand has an internet connection, and not everyone in New Zealand has a device. So we provide the devices, the access to the internet, and the expertise. And I remember one story not that long ago of a Māori gentleman who had relocated with his family from the far north to Auckland and turned up at one of our libraries and just really didn't know where to start. Obviously wanted to apply for jobs, but never put together a CV together before, had never used a computer before. And so our staff were able to help him put his CV together and a cover letter and submit it via one of our public computers. And then about a month later, that gentleman came back to the library thanking the staff that for the first time in 3 years, he had a job, and he really felt good about being a husband and a father and a provider for his family. And that's just one example. And we do that every day throughout our 55 libraries in Auckland.
That's really lovely. Have you seen many people coming in for that kind of support recently since you opened up after the lockdown?
Anecdotally, people are starting to drift into libraries to seek that help. I mean, I forget too. You know, I don't know about you, Felix. I don't even have a printer at home anymore. So you know, sometimes I have to use the library to do print. You know, if we want to print a CV. So we have definitely got people coming into the libraries seeking help. And one, because libraries keep a bit of a low profile, I guess not a lot of people realise that every single day of the year in Auckland, 35,000 people walked through one of our doors. So there was great excitement in Auckland the weekend when, for the first time in 10 years, there was 40-odd thousand people at Eden Park to watch a game of footy. You know, we have 35,000 people every single day of the year coming through our doors to borrow items, to seek help and advice, and to be able to access the world of information and the world in general.
That level of accessibility is really important as the world continues to develop technology and rely on IT for more things. I wanted to talk to Daryl about how libraries continue to provide that accessibility as IT becomes more important for day-to-day tasks and what forms libraries might take in the future.
I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on the ways that like various things are becoming more IT dependent, like job applications or the IRD or banks.
Yes, certainly. I mean, even here at Auckland Council, so at the moment, a really big opportunity, civic opportunity, is to provide feedback on the emergency budget. So I know that as of this morning, we've had over 30,000 pieces of feedback at Council, and that closes midnight Friday. I would be guessing that probably 95% of that 30,000 pieces of feedback have come through digital channels. And you know, we obviously make sort of hard copy available at places like libraries and customer service centres, but it's much easier for people to sit at home and spend 10-15 minutes providing feedback through the digital channel than it is to sit down, write on a hard copy, put it in an envelope, go somewhere, buy a stamp, put it in the letterbox and send it off. And so that's, I think, one of our jobs. And you mentioned some other things too, Felix. So, you know, trying to apply for a rental property, trying to apply for a job, trying to access various funding through government. That's all very, very difficult and time-consuming for people if they have to use non-digital channels. So you can imagine, you know, if you're a person working at two jobs to make ends meet for your family, you haven't got time to stand at a government department place somewhere waiting in a queue to have your rental application processed or your driver's license processed or whatever it might be. You know, it's a lot faster and a lot easier for those with digital means.
I'm also curious about some of the ways that libraries provide options for people who are maybe vision impaired or hearing impaired or otherwise unable to access information in the same way that other people do.
Yeah, that's right, Felix. That whole, you know, we work on a universal access principle. So when we design things like our website, for example, we use those universal access principles. We work with the Blind Foundation. We work with the Deaf Foundation, and we, you know, it's not always possible to provide absolutely equal access. But we do work hard, as do other libraries around the world, to be able to provide those resources. So for people who have sight issues, we have, apart from designing things like the website so that they can access them through their digital readers, which convert them into words and sound. For our blind customers, we have a lot of e-resources around audiobooks. And yeah, we work closely with those other agencies to try and keep improving what we provide for those people and people who have various disabilities or access issues, homebound customers. So we have a service where people who, through no fault of their own, it might be illness, it might be permanent disability, are permanently stuck at home. And we have a group of our specialised staff who work to develop volunteers who deliver pre-packaged and pre-curated packages of books for these customers, which we deliver to their homes and pick up what they have been reading and return to the library.
That's really great. So much like libraries often provide access to technology, technology also seems to be making libraries more accessible through things like ebooks or audiobooks. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on the idea of like a technologically advanced library and what that might look like and what the future of libraries might look like.
Yeah, I mean, we as a leadership team, we're often discussing what future opportunities we might be able to provide to customers. And in terms of a technological library, that's kind of predicated on the basis that we would have a site full of technology and people would come and use that technology. And at the moment, several of our libraries have things like 3D printers that people can come and use. We have some sound recording suites where people can record some music or record oral histories. I think there's other players out there, Felix, that over time are in a better position to be able to deliver a huge amount of high-tech and often fairly expensive technology. We think libraries' role is more about helping people who have technology to be able to connect with each other and to be able to access some of the cool stuff that we have.
That was Daryl Soljan, Auckland's Head of Community Libraries North and West. Cheers to him for talking to me.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.